from Murder, She Wrote, 1984 to 1996. Now, I may be wrong, but frankly, I doubt it. This is Gothic. Season 5 of the Gothic Podcast may contain material not suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome back, sojourners, to Lazarus Bay, Maine, where mystery is afoot and danger is at hand. In fact, it was only by the narrowest of crowns that one of our mystery mavens avoided an encounter with a gun-wielding shadowy figure as they broke into the basement, the strange and secret basement of the Cozy Kitten Bookstore. Well, as our mavens attempt to solve the mystery of how Fizzy Baloo met his grisly end, I don't remember how that sentence started. So
yeah, me neither.
I guess luckily you've got it on recording.
Yeah. Anyway,
go back and re-listen.
I believe it started with "Welcome, sojourners."
that was the paragraph. No, that wasn't the sentence.
Wait, was that a long sentence? I don't even remember.
There was punctuation. Dang.
I mean, it wasn't very Christopher Walken or anything, so.
Oh, hey, Christopher Walken, if you're listening, do you want to come on the show?
Okay. I just have to say that Christopher Walken being in Dune is the most hilarious thing ever. He's in the second Dune movie.
Because
have you guys ever seen the music video for Fatboy Slim's Weapon of Choice?
I love that. His dancing
Isn't
and everything.
It so
yeah.
great? Well, Weapon of Choice is about Dune.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a whole part where they're like, walk without rhythm so you don't attract the worm.
Well, yeah, and don't be shocked by the sound of my voice is a reference to The Voice.
I guess
the Bene Gesserit training.
Put that together.
All right, Dune by Frank Herbert, if anyone...
Sojourners, warning, there are nerds on this podcast.
I have read all six of the original Dune books by Frank Herbert. So,
oh,
yes.
You're stronger than I am.
Oh, it was tough. There's a lot of information.
Tonight we have our usual cast. We have Sharon.
Also a nerd.
And Jesse.
Super nerd. Super nerd. Super nerd.
And Eric.
He's super nerdy.
I prefer geek.
You bite the heads off of chickens?
Oh, Aussie reference. Love it. Oh, no, that's bats.
No, the geek reference goes back to the old 1930s. Circus.
It does. Old carnival, yeah.
Carnivals, yeah. And I am your host and mystery purveyor this evening, Patrick.
Mystery purveyor? You should put that on your business card.
Should be all my this should be all my mystery cards.
Mystery
Big
purveyor.
Old
yeah,
MP,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Patrick Nagel. Patrick Nagel.
Purveyor of mysteries.
All right, everybody. Let us go back to Lazarus Bay. And before we go join our murder mystery mavens in, I believe, Rose's barn, where they're going to discuss all that they have found and perhaps theorize, that's a move in this game, as to who the killer or purveyor of mystery might be.
Ooh, I accuse C. Patrick Nagel.
It's me!
Bold of you to assume, Patrick, we know enough about playing this game.
Yeah, fair.
Before we go to the barn where theorizing shall happen, as indicated by our cliffhanger of last time. Let's have some cozy moments, because all of our characters, all of our mavens, have a condition shaken, and it is creating a real problem for them of late. So let's have a couple of scenes where our mavens have some moments with each other doing their cozy activity. Let's start with Olivia. Who would you like to have your cozy activity with?
Eric, did you say Winnie's barn is up towards the top of a hill? Or am I misremembering that?
So I might have mentioned. I mean, I think it would be, you know, at least on a rise, there'd be some visibility.
Okay.
Used to be a farm.
Yeah, I think that I probably... Do you have like a second story or a loft on your barn?
Totally.
Yeah. I think that it's a spot that I don't like maybe necessarily frequently come to bird watch, but you know, it's up above the town and I can get a great look at the gulls circling over the fish market, and maybe I even have a tripod that I keep up there with your permission that I can have a big old pair of binoculars on, and I do a little bit of bird watching up there from time to time. And you can borrow the tripod, too. Just don't, you know, damage it. I trust you, of course, but it's the only one I've got.
Best if I don't try to use it in any contraptions, but I might put a telescope on it instead, if that's okay.
I absolutely don't mind you putting a telescope on it. I've only got these binocs, and they're not as powerful as anything that you've got in here.
Now, it needs to be an intimate moment, so you need to be sharing something. While you are doing your bird watching, you need to be sharing something important.
All right, so I'm going to be looking down at gulls and terns.
So I feel like then we're both there up on the in a loft area with a big, it's got a sliding door that, that you can open, and you're looking and you see a particularly good one and you're like, oh, look. And then like the
you
strap
can tell
is still around your neck.
It's got the black head. It's definitely a laughing gull.
And you
doesn't look at all like any of the ring-billed or herring gulls. Whose heads are white, you know.
And you, like, pass the binoculars over to Winnie with the strap still around your neck. And we're just kind of, like, cheek by jowl.
You know, they tend to go south in the wintertime and spend the time along the Gulf Coast. And I you know, I just keep thinking about those postcards that we found at Fizzy's place. You know, he and my wife used to talk a lot about heading someplace, and I wonder if the postcards maybe used to be connected with that. You know, Pip used to have dreams about going, and she said she always wanted to take me to the Bahamas. I'm not sure she knew where those were. I think she was maybe thinking of Miami. Can
well,
I have the binocs,
you know,
back?
You've got the boat and everything. If we ever get this Lazarus situation figured out, maybe we could take a trip.
Now that would be something. Imagine the birds I could see down in the marshes of Miami, or perhaps the Bahamas.
It does sound very restful.
You may each clear an appropriate condition.
How about an inappropriate condition? Sorry.
And if it's your cozy activity, you can also stumble on a clue relevant to the act of mystery. Tell the keeper what it is.
What
the clue
is?
Cannot conclusively solve the mystery by itself. So it's not one from my list. You're scanning around with the binoculars. What do you see, or what do you think of in your memory as of being in the cozy kitten or around town, whatever it is?
Oh, that's a great... Well, we were just talking about birds and migration and Fizzy and wanting to go to tropical locations. But, I don't know, does a clue have to be an object?
No.
Could be somebody, like, doing something that we then can connect to.
As you're scanning around, you see somebody
radiation
doing
from
some
space.
Shady shit. We'll call it shady shit.
Oh no, it's a sunburn. It's a clue. That's radiation from space. Anyway, I like the idea of seeing someone doing something. And I'm intrigued by the, in the last episode, the book of architectural blueprints that were... by Phineas Wellcoat.
Very suspicious.
Is interested in architecture. You know the man's evil. Actually, I think it'd be interesting to for us to witness Phineas Wellcoat and the Downtown Restoration Society lady, Cindy Louise, with their heads bent working over some document or something.
Now, keep in mind that this may not fit into your theorizing, and therefore it may not count.
That's ambiguous now.
It is ambiguous. I mean, all of the clues are ambiguous.
I was hoping we could find something that would unambiguize.
You cannot choose an unambiguizing clue.
Yeah, I was going to say, like,
choose a definitive clue. Less ambiguous is not, solved it.
Through the big old telescope, we see somebody, like, signing an affidavit that says, I murdered Fizzy. He's holding Fizzy off the top of a tower going, long live the bookseller, and throws him off into the horde of wildebeests below.
Rose, who would you like to have your cozy activity with?
I was actually kind of hoping to have, like, a collection, like, invite them over to, like, discuss in the chateau, this large shed where I do a lot of my distilling.
I'm sorry, that's against the rules.
What? There can't be more than two of us cozy activity-ing together?
Is it really?
It says, while one of you is engaged in your cozy activity with another maven, not mavens, it's so that you can't all clear your conditions at once.
Gotcha.
Oh. What if I'm not really paying attention?
It's just me and my cat moonshine.
No, it has to be another maven.
Oh, it has to be another maven.
Yes.
All right. You have to choose which of us you like more, Jesse.
Yeah, choose which one you like more. And this will be in canon that Jesse likes this other cast member more than the other one.
No pressure.
We've gone back to elementary school.
Wow.
It will
circle
not.
Circle yes in fact, or no.
It could be the opposite, and only you will ever know.
Yeah.
Who had the best finger painting?
Finger painting in elementary school?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like when you get the finger painting.
That would have been me, but
I never finger painted with pudding like a heathen. I did it with paint.
Tapioca. <Okay. laughs>
I really like Olivia's character because the fishing boat is pretty effing cool. And for the Patreon members, pretty fucking cool.
So good, Eric. I'm kidding. I'm joking. I love you. Just kidding.
No. It's just kind of one of those things where it's like the old farmhouse is cool, but the chateau's got alcohol. Why would you go to the farmhouse?
For sure.
But anyway, I think it's just kind of one of those things where it just kind of like fits in funny where it's... I think that Rose would like the idea of the adventure of the fishing boat more with Olivia than... I mean, she's used to the kind of farmhouse slash vineyard kind of lifestyle of something like that. She's familiar with it. So it's like when she wants to get out, she would try to connect closer with somebody who has a different lifestyle.
Do you distill rum at all? Does it just like not taste the same?
On land? It's a broad distillery.
Okay.
Brandies, cognac. I experiment with many things over the years.
You know, it's not rum if you don't have the waves underneath you.
Rosanna's not exactly a spring chicken. She's
speak for yourself.
Experienced many things. So I think it goes a lot to that adventurous spirit that Rose likes to get into and loves the idea of getting out on the boat and the water. Just that whole experience with Olivia. I think they have a really good connection in the past with something like that.
Okay. So you wanna take the old girl out, eh? I'll see if I can fire up this old engine.
Well, no, I'm inviting you to the chateau.
Oh, never mind. Okay. All right. I'll come on land this time.
I can only invite you according to the, you know, keeper, game master person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I did it in Winnie's house, though, so...
Winifred could be there, but maybe below decks or something while you are having your cozy moment.
Yeah, maybe, like, Winnie's not paying attention or, you know, is in another room.
That totally changes everything, then, because I would totally have them both over and then maybe pull Olivia aside and be like, okay, this may be a little spooky, but we're gonna go down into my special basement
Just don't offer me amontillado is all I'm asking.
No, it's nothing like that, because it's like a sub basement of, and it's a very small, it almost seems like a crawl space, but standing room, where I have like specific vintages where I know that the brew came out perfectly. So Olivia, what do you think Winnie would like? I mean, she goes strong. And
she does.
I present like a couple of different brandies, some scotches, all aged. I mean, these have dates on them that are, you know, 18 plus years old.
Hoo-wee!
But no, these are things that I have like very specific vintages from like specific years that I knew where either the grapes that we used for a wine that we distilled, you know, were like really, really specific. And I like go through a few years and I point out like a brandy, a cognac, and there's not too much difference. Or do we just really want to go blind? And I point out like the big X on one wall where we know it's the strong alcohol.
You know, there's a couple of things I know about Winnie is that, she gets into her moods where she's just working so hard and doesn't really pay attention to... I've seen her drink coffee that was like 3 days old because she wasn't really paying attention and it was in reach. And I think she might really appreciate something that would make her slow down and appreciate the beverage. So perhaps something strong, strongly scented, unique.
I think she could be a good addition to our group.
Now, you mean the book club?
Yeah, we can call it that.
I agree. Club. Yes, she does think very analytically. And she also appreciates craftsmanship. And I would take down one of the, probably a brandy that you have pointed out to me. And be like, from what you've shown me of this one, it was, you know, the original fermentation was so careful. And you told me that you felt like you really nailed the distillation process on this one. Brandy's kind of a, you know, powerful beverage, but it's not going to knock her off her feet if she has more than a swig of it, which is probably a strength with her. And I think it would catch her attention.
Oh, the pair so fits Winnie. I love it. And I love you.
Oh, come on. I love you too. I may have had too much to drink. Do you have a restroom?
We got water.
I have, you know, Jesse has not made my life harder here, but Jesse has made his own life harder.
Mm.
Because you get to clear off your condition,
okay,
Rose, but you also stumble on a clue relevant to the active mystery.
Oh, shit.
And yet you have this taking place Before
we even bring Winnie into the
before
book club.
Winnie's even been brought into the Murder Maven's Mystery Club.
It's a regular clue or void clue?
It's a regular clue.
Okay.
Although, you know what? Given the circumstances, you can make it a void clue if you want. It can be a it can be a clue for this mystery, or it can be a clue for the void mystery. I will allow that because of the weird way that things are. So what's it going to be, Rose? What's it going to be?
Okay. Are we going to get a void clue anyway from Olivia?
Yes.
Then I would go for a regular clue. Personally, as Jesse.
It's going to be a tough one because, again, this is happening before you three have become part of Murder Maven's Mystery Club.
On the other hand, I would like to point out that all of the suspects we have been in town, presumably for a while. Yeah. And I wonder if maybe one of them...
This could easily be something that you think of now that has relevance in the future.
You're like, oh, that time that we were in the basement, and I noticed that Fizzy's signature
that
was on this bottle.
That bastard!
It was that guy I walled up in my cask of Amontillado!
You know she's related to Sheriff Lilo.
Yeah, she never hesitates to remind him.
Could that be a plus? Could that be a pro or a con?
You know, she does never hesitate to remind him. She doesn't exactly do what he says. Much more the opposite, as a matter of fact.
Good, because I don't trust that shifty shyster.
What's the clue that Lilo is shifty?
Yeah.
Is he not as himbo as he looks?
What did he do that made you think that he was shifty? That's going to be the clue, I think.
Okay, so I know that Sheriff Lilo visits down on 3rd Avenue. You know what I mean with 3rd Avenue.
Sojourners, no one knows what he means by 3rd Avenue.
I totally know what you mean by 3rd Avenue.
Wherever the place is, there's a State Street, there's a Main Street, there's a corner of 5th and 9th. There's something. He likes to visit 3rd Avenue.
There's your clue. Write it down.
Yeah, so sorry, why is 3rd Avenue shady? I did not follow that.
No one, everyone knows why 3rd Avenue is shady.
Oh, okay. We just know.
We just know. I don't know, but we know.
It's probably like some high school kid is dealing oregano that he says is weed.
It could be drugs, it could be prostitutes, it could be something like that. It's just a shady area.
Okay.
It's because they planted all those big trees.
Rose's good friend,
it's so shady.
Nikki also does a lot of business down there too.
Yeah, that's what I was picturing when you said, like, I don't know, when you started talking about the clue, I was like, oh, he's going to talk about Nikki Fears.
Maybe that's where the unfortunate herring is on 3rd Avenue.
Oh! Maybe Winnie does a little gambling on this. Or not Winnie, Lilo does a little gambling.
Winnie, totally.
Oh my god. Wait, no. Winnie gambles on the horses, obviously.
Exactly. I like the ponies.
Her brother and sister are called Gallop and Canter.
Olivia?
Yeah. Yes.
The day is overcast and cold. The mist comes down, chilling your skin. There is a seagull on a single pole, a fence pole with no wire, a single pole next to the road with a field beyond. There is a seagull upon a fence pole. In its mouth, it holds a fish. But the seagull...
Do I recognize this fish?
You recognize the fish, but the seagull has only one eye and only skin and feathers where the other should be. And the fish turns its head in the seagull's mouth and looks at you and says, "It will be everything." And then it screeches in a seagull's voice. And this happens as you put your hand on the door of Rose's barn, where the three of you are meeting after having quickly and with haste, left the vicinity of the Cozy Kitten. But now you all go into Rose's barn, and what do we see, Rose?
You see, as you walk through, like, giant vats, and also a bunch of small barrels of different things going on, different casks being aged, fermentation going on. You walk through to where you know there's a sitting area. There's a nice little, there's a fireplace burning. There's a couple of comfy chairs, nice cushions with little tables laid out, and a giant rack of many different vintages from different years of different same kind of thing, distilled brandies. There's gins, there's cognacs, there's all kinds of different stuff laid out. But Rose always picks something from the back room when her murder mavens are present. So you go in, get yourself comfy at one of the tables, probably one nearest the fireplace that we all love to sit around. It's got a wonderful ottoman. Whether you kick your feet up or not is up to you. It's totally a cozy, inviting atmosphere. Moonshine is there, and she curls up right in the middle of the ottoman, just kind of like looking at you both, while Rose goes in the back and grabs a nice vintage and walks out with a wonderful Armagnac.
I'm going to look up what Armagnac is.
Winifred, what do you like best about Rose's barn?
Honestly, I like Rose best about Rose's barn. The atmosphere is so comfortable, but it's only completed by the person who put it together and who animates it. And that's the best thing about going to Rose's barn, is to spend that time and have those memories with Rose.
Stop. I'm getting all verklempt. Talk amongst yourselves. I'm going to go grab some brandy.
When Rose returns with the Armagnac, which is...
it's like a cognac, but it's distilled in the special Armagnac region of France. I don't remember. Hold on.
No, that's totally it. It's cognac. Yeah,
it's cognac, but it's... oh my god, it's produced in the Armagnac region in Gascony in southwest France. I wasn't exaggerating. Otherwise, it's just distilled stuff.
It's distilled wine, yeah.
So it's brandy.
Yeah. No, it's cognac.
Well, cognac is brandy from the cognac region.
Is cognac brandy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it is brandy. Okay. Thanks, Wikipedia.
Yeah, cognac is made from one specific type of grape, and Armagnac is a bunch of different.
A blend of grapes, including Baco 22A, Colombard, Folle Blanche, and Uni Blanc, traditionally using column stills rather than pot stills. Anyway, I'm closing the Wikipedia page again.
Rose, Olivia, as you both are there, somehow Winifred whips this thing out that she's been keeping secret and slaps it onto the table in front of you, saying, "I know who did it. What is it we see?"
Okay, so there's sort of this wheezing as she like pulls it out of a bag, and then as she claps it down on the table. It is an accordion.
It's an accordion?
I found this in the basement of the Cozy Kitten, and I know who done it.
I love the idea of, as Winnie is stating this, that the accordion like slowly shrinks in on itself, and you hear this little whine.
Also, all the keys are super glued
to each other or to the accordion body?
The body of the accordion.
Okay.
All the keys are super glued? That doesn't seem healthy for the instrument.
No, it would get in the way of playing it, but the important part is I saw Phineas Wellcoat on the beach one day playing the accordion, and that is not a common thing to play.
My wife used to play the accordion, but you're right, it's not a very common instrument.
Yes, I'm sorry, didn't she pass?
Yes, she did. This wasn't hers, by the way. I would recognize it in an instant.
I'm sure, I just don't know the relevance.
So, would you like to, bum bum bum, theorize?
Hell yes, do it.
The way theorize works is, so you have an open, freewheeling discussion about the solution to the mystery once you have gathered a number of clues equal to at least half the mystery's complexity rounded up. So you needed at least three.
We got a lot?
Now, here's how this works. You will discuss it. I mean, Winnie has some thoughts, but Winnie will put those out there. You can put in your own thoughts and such on these. You don't have to use all of the official clues you have found. So if something doesn't seem to fit, you don't have to use it, but you won't get to use it as a bonus in your roll. When the roll comes time to be made, we will roll, one of you will roll it, it doesn't matter who, one of you will roll theorize, that's going to be 2d6, and you will add the number of clues that you have incorporated into your solution.
Okay.
And then we will subtract the mystery's complexity, which is 6, and that will tell us whether you have found the correct suspect. So, go. Freewheeling discussion. Winnie saying stuff.
I'm open to this discussion.
I feel like I need the lawyer from Chicago, the tap shoes.
Oh, funny.
It's dun, so dun. I can do the Billy Flynn
yeah.
dance. All right. Now, knowing that Phineas plays the accordion, I think we can assume that clue points to him.
And that he authored this book of architectural drawings, in which I found the deed to the Cozy Kitten.
Yes, exactly. And because he did that, he would know about the secret passage underneath the Cozy Kitten.
Of course, because we saw him working with Cindy Louise, you know, the lady from the Architectural Preservation Society, or whatever they call it.
Yes, but I think he must have been trying to
to suss out whether or not she knows about his evil plot, because with her connections to the Historical Society, she's the only other one who would have anything close to his knowledge of the building and the layout.
Oh, I was thinking he was acquiring information from her, but you think he was maybe finding out how much she knew?
I think so. I think he knows quite enough already.
All right. What else pointed you in his direction? I mean, besides the fact that he's obsessed with Fizzy's basement.
Yes, well, we know that Phineas is a world traveler. He's been on shows and things all over the globe.
The postcards!
He must have sent those postcards to Fizzy to lure Fizzy out away on some exotic vacation so that he could have free reign.
And Fizzy never went. He never felt like he could get away from the shop.
Right.
Poor
well,
dear.
And I feel that Phineas must have broken into the place, and that's why the broken weather vane was broken. And Phineas is clearly the only one of our suspects. No disrespect to Nikki's physical capabilities, Rose, but he was the only one athletic enough to be climbing about on the roof.
He does walk like 10 miles a day on the beach with his metal detector.
Yes. And he must have also been in the place, and that's where he got the collar tab from the Siamese cat.
But how did it wind up on the bottom of our tire?
Well, it must have gotten attached to his pant leg when that very friendly Siamese cat was
rubbing his pants.
And he shook it off in the street.
It did the same thing to me when I discovered the burned bacon on the stove.
Yes!
During this discussion, Rose, like, slowly gets up and just kind of paces back and forth in front of the fireplace, and then just faces it for a little while, holding her little brandy glass.
We see you from behind, so you're, like,
yeah,
in
you
silhouette,
see a silhouette
with the brandy,
yeah,
like, glowing in your hand.
Yeah, off to the side, all, like, held between the fingers,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah,
just
yeah,
right.
We're not playing thirsty sword lesbians right now.
Says who?
And then you see her turn around and you see the back silhouette, so you actually see the front of her, like, for that moment in that transition where you have that profile where you have that, like,
the anime glasses flash
firelight. Yes. Ooh. And you get that flash of, like, the profile as she flips around. Why are the police trying to cover it up?
I don't think Lilo's trying to cover it up. I think he's incompetent.
I'm glad that you said it and not me. I wasn't going to speak anything bad about your,
great cousin twice removed.
Second cousin twice removed, thank you.
Incompetent or in cahoots? I don't think Nikki's in cahoots. I think this is outside of Nikki's purview. I think the police are in cahoots.
In cahoots? I thought we were in Lazarus Bay.
Wah, 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 goes the accordion.
Just spontaneously.
Oh, sorry, that was me.
Two questions about your clues so far. One, how did the weather vane get broken? Why is there a broken weather vane?
Phineas was climbing about on the roof as part of his investigation of the property.
Oh.
Fizzy did have that skylight he never could open in the upstairs restroom.
That's a clever way to look at it, though, Winnie. That somebody wasn't climbing on the roof and, like, grabbed onto the weather vane and bent it.
It must have been.
He must have shoved it behind a bunch of shelves in order to, I mean, what do you do with a thing like that? It's cast iron.
Yes, just so.
So, is the bacon connected in some way, in your theory?
No, I have no idea. That's the one thing I can't tie in.
what I was trying to aim for was backing up the behavior of the cat. When I found the bacon, the cat was doing this thing. But I know the bacon itself was the clue.
Cats love bacon.
Even though you... That's true. The cats were... Canonically, the cats were eating the bacon. But yeah, so I was like, when I discovered the bacon, the cat rubbed on my ankles too. Oh!
Yeah, I think that was more just to corroborate the friendly Siamese cat thing rather than bring in the bacon as a clue.
All right, how many clues do you have there?
We've got the weather vane, the postcards, the collar tag, and the secret passage, and the accordion.
And Phineas and Cindy Louise whispering in corners.
Oh, yeah.
So we got 7 clues. Okay, so weather vane, postcards.
Mm-hmm.
Collar tab from Siamese cat.
Mm-hmm.
Secret passage.
Mm-hmm.
Letters of deed in the book. that Phineas wrote.
Letters of deed.
Accordion and Cindy and Phineas cahooting.
I need more on the accordion.
Yeah, why do you think he would have left it in the basement? He just happened to have it in his pocket when he broke into into Fizzy's shop.
Well, I don't know why he would have had it. I just think that...
Who carries an accordion around with them?
I'm making a dignant noise with the accordion.
He's the only person I know who plays the accordion, and maybe it was something about, you know, there might be like a musical puzzle underneath there. It was very dark. I didn't do anything but find the accordion. So maybe he needed to make music down there in order to open a door or something.
It has super glue on the keys.
Well, I don't know when it got the super glue. I just know he played the accordion, so it's a connection to him.
Does the super glue, like, prevent the keys from being manipulated in the way that you'd normally press keys on an accordion?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe that promoted the tone he needed for the musical properties.
I doubt it. I wonder if he was maybe trying to, for some reason, smuggle super glue into the basement in his accordion case, and it leaked. You know how that stuff, once you've squeezed it and gotten the cap off, and it just won't stop coming out?
Oh, I know. One time, when I was using super glue on one of my contraptions, the bottle broke and the whole contraption just seized up. Useless. It is possible it was an accident.
I think to make this the most tense that it could possibly be, you're going to need to pull your handful of suspects into a room together somewhere and confront Fizzy with this.
Confront Fizzy?
Yes, confront the dead guy.
Yep, confront yep, yep.
To you and tell confront him.
Explain, Fizzy, who murdered you?
And confront Phineas with this. But you obviously want the others because, well, narrative reasons. And you probably want Lilo there, too, to arrest him.
Yes, Lilo, for sure.
And we can see if he's true to his word.
How are you going to do it? How do you get them together?
Shall we divide and conquer? All of us go and invite one or two of them?
You only have the time of a commercial to get them all together into one one space.
We'll have to move by map.
And again, this is based on 70s TV logic, so you can't just tell them all to meet somewhere and they will be there.
You should advertise an event releasing a new liquor that you have distilled, and you invited them all to a special unveiling of it.
Lilo's not going to go for it because he knows I'm a little enamored with Nikki.
That's why he should come. He can keep an eye on Nikki.
Nothing motivates like jealousy.
I love that idea.
You should tell Lilo that Nikki will be there and you're a little nervous around him. Lilo should be there to protect you and your, product.
So Rose actually puts out a little memo, email, text, not like to the point of like going on a Facebook, like, event post or anything like that, because that's not Rose, but she's trying to be as hip as possible. She's inviting Lilo. She's TikTok. Inviting Nikki. She's inviting Phineas. She even invites her good friend Fern to just a lovely kind of soiree kind of event. Just a gathering of people of the town. But it's just kind of a night of please get to know your neighbors kind of thing.
You don't want to do it in true 70s mystery, cozy mystery fashion and say, we're going to tell you all who the murderer is?
No, not yet. That may be the purpose of the event, but I'm inviting everybody there. So it's like, you get you get Mustard, you get Scarlet, you get all of the colors of the clue board. You try and invite them all to the one place, and we're trying to do that moment when we're like, well, it was this person, or that was this person in that place with this object kind of aspect to it.
If we said that we were bringing them there to tell them who the killer was, the killer would surely bolt.
It's going to be Nikki and Phineas and Fern and Lilo and who else?
Cindy.
And did you already say Galen?
I did not say Galen yet, but I was getting there. Casey? What was Blunderblot's first name? Mayor?
I don't know if he had a first name. Make it up. Blandon Blunderblatz.
Old Tony. The tow truck guy.
Tony the tow truck guy.
Tony.
Well, let's keep it to a manageable amount of people.
Okay. Sorry. I'm going crazy.
I've only been tracking Nikki, Casey, Cindy Louise, Galen, and Phineas.
Tony shows up, but he wasn't actually invited.
I love that idea.
Hey, I heard that you were releasing a new vintage.
We have a commercial break. Because I'm going to put in a banjo, like, commercial right here for
something. It should be an accordion. It should be an accordion.
Well, no, I've got a banjo. I don't have an accordion.
Patrick plays the banjo, not the
Why
accordion.
Why the hell don't you have an accordion, Patrick? That's what I want to know.
Because I can barely figure out how to play the banjo. We come back to the unhealthy herring and a private room set up for your gathering by Nikki Fears, Rose's love interest. Everyone that you have invited, plus Tony, has arrived. They're all sipping on artisanal beer that Nikki has provided in anticipation of the new, harder liquor to be brought by Roseanne. But instead, what you plop down on the table with a is the accordion. Who is going to make the speech? You know the one. And lay it all out.
I think that Olivia would look at Winnie.
Oh, I've got to say it all again?
I mean, you're the one who put it all together in the first place.
What we can do instead is we see Winnie there going, well, how would you introduce this at least? How would you move from, haha, we don't actually have, we do have alcohol, but only for people who aren't a murderer.
You only get alcohol if you've never killed anyone.
Everyone leaves.
Everyone dumps their booze out.
And then we know how screwed we are as all the people who've killed people exit the building.
Oh, please tell me Fern sticks around.
Fern's the only one who sticks around.
At the end, there's just Tony with one carrot in his mouth.
With some ranch dressing on the end
with
of it.
With some ranch dressing on the end.
Oh, I don't drink. Sorry, guys. I was just I just wanted to be supportive.
I love how Tony has become Ray.
Oh my god. Oh my god, yeah.
Okay.
Oh man.
Okay, so Winifred kind of stalks in purposefully with, you know, with a bag that has the accordion in it. Thank you, Nikki, for the wonderful beverages, but that's not actually what we're here for. And she pulls out the accordion.
I look over to Olivia with, like, a really stern look. It's like, we gotta support Winnie. And I stock up, and hopefully Olivia kind of, like, mirrors me as we stock up and back up Winnie.
I shoot the deadbolt on the front door and stand in front of it with my arms folded. And giving across the crowd that look that only old ladies can give to misbehaving grandchildren.
Lilo looks at all of you and goes, well, what is this?
It's an accordion, Lilo.
So when he pulls out the accordion with a and sets it down on the table with a
Rose steps up next to Winnie and just gives like this old lady like glare back and forth to everybody. Yeah, you know you did it. Yeah, you know you did it.
We figured it out, and this accordion is the key.
And then you lay it all out for them. Everything that you put together there in Rose's barn. And we see a montage of scenes as you envision it of these various things happening, of Phineas doing these things, but it's a shadowy figure until the end because you don't reveal until the very end. We see how it all comes together. Then you say,
and the only one left in this town who plays the accordion after Olivia's dear departed partner is Phineas Wellcoat!
Bum, 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 goes the accordion.
Who is going to roll Theorize?
I'm so nervous.
Any of you can roll it, but it's just one of you.
I feel like it's only fair if Eric does it, but also, Eric, if you don't want to do it, you can say so.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very nervous. I'm nervous whoever rolls it.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it all right if I do?
Yeah.
So it is going to be 2d6 plus you used 7 clues.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be the roll 20 will ask you to put in these numbers. So it's going to ask how many clues you're using. So you'll put in 7. Mm. And then it will subtract the 6 of the complexity of this crime. So you'll be winding out rolling 2d6 plus 1.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
And whenever you're ready.
I'm chickening out.
Roll that beautiful bean footage.
I'm sweating.
This is my favorite part.
Welcome to the Gothic Podcast.
Finally.
How well do you do?
You should have been there on the bridge to the lighthouse.
No kidding.
Yes!
It's a 13!
Massive success.
How did you roll 12?
Is what it literally says. Massive success.
It is a massive success. It has to have been it's a double 6.
Did it already subtract the 6? It did.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is a 19 minus 6.
That is the equivalent of a nat 20, except possibly more.
Yeah.
So, dang.
Two
sixes plus 1. 13, the best success you could get.
Wow.
And Eric is doing a little dance in his his studio.
This is the
I would have rolled like snake eyes.
I would have rolled snake eyes. This is the real reason why I was pushing for Eric to do it, because Roll 20 loves him.
However, a person involved in the dark conspiracy of Brindlewood of Lazarus Bay also reveals themselves to the mavens.
Wait. Oh, shit, you're right. On a 12 plus. Oh.
Okay, here we go. Phineas looks at you all, and he says, there's a treasure. I don't remember my voice, but there's a treasure in the basement. I know there is. There's a treasure beyond that secret door. I know there's a treasure beyond the secret door. I know it.
Yes, absolutely. Let's just all calm down and I'll start to like move towards him and like, yes, absolutely, for sure. You can explain everything. Just a little later.
And that is when Cindy draws a small pistol from her handbag and points it at Phineas and shoots him in the head.
Oh my God.
Oh God.
And she says, and none of you will ever know what those secrets are. And she starts to swing the gun around. But just then, Olivia, you feel a great cold at your back. The deadbolt on the door clacks open and the door bursts open. And it kind of sends you tumbling just a little bit. And standing in the doorway is Angie Happen, Fern Happen's wife. Still the age she was when she died many years ago, it appears. But she is also covered in water and seaweed. And her flesh itself seems to almost be flowing like water. As she flows there, she says, you must not let them raise him from the depths. He will destroy it all. And then she just sort of splurges, becomes water and seaweed flowing across the floor in a great splash. And we'll find out what happens next time on the Gothic Podcast.
God damn it.
I'm so sorry to my audio. Oh my God.
Dun, 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 dun.
Why, don't you all just come down and visit beautiful Lazarus Bay, Maine? We've got all the attractions you're ever looking for. We've got the beautiful fall leaves, and we've got picturesque church steeples, and we've got lovely and clean streets. And you know what? There's hardly ever a murder here. Yeah.
The Gothic Podcast is a horror and humor actual play audio drama produced by Goblin Brook Manor, LLC. Season 5 of the Gothic Podcast stars C. Patrick Nagel, Sharon Gallery LaFournaise, Jesse Baldwin, and Eric Halbert. Our theme music is by Zoe Hovland, and our logo is by Jared George Art. Liking, sharing, and reviewing us on iTunes really helps us get more listeners. And please consider supporting us on our Patreon or joining the conversation on our Discord channel. Links and more in the show notes. Thanks for joining us in the dark, Sojourners.
Yeah, Patrick, did I get a void clue in my dream?
Not yet. Wait.
Okay.
Okay.
Give me my void clue.
Trust your GM, jeepers.
No.
I mean, don't, but... What is it we see?
A dick pic. Please don't put that on the actual podcast.
That was unsolicited, Winnie. What if the town was populated by our past characters? That'd be so weird.
It would be too much.
It was actually supposed to be true for a while.
But...
So my pen totally died. I was trying to scribble out notes and
oh my god,
pen
I'm so
died.
Far behind in my notes. I've not been able to keep up.
I didn't take any notes. I was busy with the like arrows and the tables.
Yeah. Oh my god.
You will not raise him?
You should not raise him. He will, what was it she said?
He will do something. You can't let them raise
him. You can't let them raise him?
Oh my god.